At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. It is a Thursday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Very busy show. We're very, very busy. Lee Sterling, man of the people. Locktober is alive and it is well. And he's going to hand out some winners. ParamountSports.com. Lee Sterling will join us. Adam Ronis, so you can go 1-0 in your fantasy weekend. It is a Thursday, so Bad Take Boulevard coming up later today. Brad Kellner to talk. I noticed that Brian loves to schedule Brad Kellner. How many Aggie guests have we had this season? How many?
Literally 2-1 in favor of Brad Kellner.
Yeah, we had Nuno.
We've had Kellner on twice. We've had an Aggie fan on, or an Aggie guy.
Guest once.
Once.
2-1.
Zero
Settle
Cougar
down.
Guys. How many Wisconsin guys have we had?
That'd be zero, but I think we're going to try and make up for it tomorrow.
How many
any
other
university?
Yeah,
we've got two guys tomorrow.
How many all of the aboves do we have?
Well, we got enough of the Cougs in the Big 12 from you, so we got that covered.
Two Brad Kellners in the same collegiate football season. I see. I'm on to you. I'm on to you, Brian.
You're on to me about wanting to talk about the number one team in the nation?
Who's BMAC's favorite team? Favorite university?
That'd be the Horns.
Yeah. Be the Horns. Just notice that. Just on to you a little bit. I'm teasing. How much of this is real? How much is this coach speak? Because yesterday, I think it was 0002. He mansplained to us what coach speak is. We've been in sports our entire lives, and I didn't know what coach speak was until yesterday. I didn't know that coaches stood behind the podium and into a microphone. They talk up their opponents. They never say anything bad about them. They don't give them billboard material. I never knew that. I'm thankful that we have 0002 in our lives because now I know that. Now I'm like, oh. He's just saying that to respect the opponent. He doesn't really mean what he's saying. Coaches lie? I never thought that was the case. I thought they were always 100% truthful. I thought it was required as part of their job. So I'm thankful for you, 0002, for letting us know and teaching us about coach speak and what that is. So I was listening to LaFleur yesterday, which I'm a huge fan of LaFleur. You're usually anti-Packers. Do you
not
like LaFleur?
Anti-Packers. And I've given him his flowers. Since Rodgers has gone, he's done a hell of a great job when he got control of the offense.
Yeah, I'm a big LaFleur fan. I think that he's really good. I think he's one of the better young coaches in the NFL. I think he's one of the better coaches in the NFL. And I think he's one of the better offensive minds in the NFL. So I was listening to LaFleur talk. I do this all the time with the opponents, just try to get a little bit of intel on what they're saying about the Texans or where their team is at. Are there matchups that we can talk about? Whatever. But I was like, you know what? Because 0002 changed our lives and because he gave us this wisdom that is known as coach speak, I was like, okay, why don't we play some of LaFleur's cuts and let's talk about how much this is real and how much this is coach speak. And all of you care more about the Texans than the Packers. No offense, Blankers. So let's go through a few of these with LaFleur, talking about the Houston Texans, talking about some of their players, and how much of it is real or how much of it is coach speak, where the opposing head coach is just respecting the opponent, no billboard material, just saying the right thing. So whenever you're listening to these bites, how much of it's coach speak, how much of it is real? And 713-780-ESPN, you can play along, 0002, because you are the boy wonder, the wonder kind when it comes to coach speak, you can play along too. So here's LaFleur. First one about the Texans quarterback. So you have a guy who's a great offensive mind. You would think that game, no game, right? LaFleur knowing offense, C.J. Stroud, quarterback on the offensive side of the ball. Here's LaFleur talking about C.J. Stroud, saying he's special.
And obviously he's got the ability where the moment's not too big for him. He can process very fast. And he's a very good anticipatory thrower, which I think is kind of a lost art. I think he does a great job with that. And He's got some weapons around him, too, because it's never all about the quarterback. He's got some good weapons around him. They do a good job in protection. I think Bobby Slowick does a great job with their scheme and being able to attack people and get guys in advantageous positions. So I think it's just a collective. It's the collective, but ultimately he's got the toughest job of them all in terms of going out there and playing that position, and he's been playing at a high level. It's been pretty impressive to watch.
All right, so special, C.J. Stroud, impressive to watch. How much of that is coach speak? How much of that is real?
I think a lot. I think the majority of it is real. I think that you maybe add a little fluff here and there. He didn't give away too much. He didn't get it down. There wasn't a ton of diving down into specifics, but he knows what he knows. He's friends with Slowick, I believe, as well as all the other guys that, you know, that he's worked with and around and had interactions with. But I think that in that regard, I don't have a lot of an issue saying it's coach speak.
I think that I think this is real.
I do.
Yeah, I think that this is real. Like he's not crossing any sort of like lines and making up stories about, like, Stroud is special. Stroud's in the second year of the league, and many think he's a top three quarterback. Like, it's pretty clear cut and pretty much a consensus that CJ Stroud, if he's not top three, he's top five. And he talked about like the anticipatory throws. Yeah, that's something that he is known to do. That is something that he's really good at. So I don't think that LaFleur is being you know, coach speak at all when it comes to talking up CJ Stroud. He also talked up the weapons of the Houston Texans offensively, and they're down one right now with Nico Collins. I don't think that's coach speak either. Like, if you're an opposing defensive coordinator, and Hafley's going to have that challenge this week, defensive coordinator for Green Bay, came from BC, Bill O'Brien took his job. Like, you do look at the Texans like, okay, well, they got some dudes. Stephon Diggs has been one of the best wide receivers in the NFL for the last decade. Tank Dell was one of the best rookie receivers last year in the NFL. Joe Mixon has played a couple games this year and has been really good. He's played a few games, but he's been really good in two of those games. So I don't think that part was coach speak either. I do think the Texans' weapons are very good.
Yeah, I think that it's one thing to say it when you're playing maybe a lesser-than team or a mediocre team or teams where, you know, you can see right through it. I think that in this case so far, I don't think that there's anything that I've heard. And I told you when we were talking about this even earlier in the week, when D'Amico has a tendency to do it, all coaches do it. And it is pretty easy a lot of times to see through it, because a lot of times you're trying to tell me, like, if this was Deshaun Watson, you're hearing the same things, it'd be pretty easy to go, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's because the Texans are actually good, it makes this a little bit, I mean, I think it's all real. And then you talk about Bobby Slowick, which, there are some connections with Slowick, obviously. You go back to the acclaimed Washington coaching staff back in the day that had Shanahan, it had Saleh, it had LaFleur, it actually had Bobby Slowick, too. Bobby Slowick was like a quality control coach on the defensive side of the ball. And Bobby Slowick also went to high school in Green Bay. His dad was a defensive coordinator for the Packers, and Bobby Slowick went to high school in Green Bay during that time.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that until yesterday, because I was listening to Mike LaFleur talk. Huh. So that's the benefit. You learn stuff. You get knowledge. You get information. Do you think that part was coach speak? Or do you think that part was real? That Slowick does a great job with their scheme, puts guys in advantageous positions.
I think that's him giving a compliment to someone that he probably thinks, because he didn't get into specifics again either. You could say that about any guy you're facing, any coordinator. So I think there is a little, he's fluffy, he's not specific, but I think that he meant that.
Yeah, I don't think that was coach speak either. Actually, and they have a relationship, so it's probably, you know, more true. But I agree with him, though. Like, I do think that Slowick does a great job with the Texans scheme. A lot of people disagree with that. Some people have been pretty unhappy with Slowick this year. I think Slowick's good, and I do think that he puts guys in advantageous positions. So I think that all of that was actually real. None of it was coach speak. Okay, here's the Texans defense, the other side of the ball. LaFleur talking about the Houston Texans defense.
They play very fast, very physical, very sound. I think their play style is one of the best, if not the best, in the league, just when you watch them. So it's going to be a great challenge.
So there you go. They play fast, great challenge, one of the best in the league. Coach speak real.
That's coach speak, just to get through the question. That's coach speak. He's not lying in a lot of, because when you look at the numbers, he's not lying. But I think in a lot of ways, that's just a way to just kind of deflect the question without getting into too much.
Yeah, see, I think this is real. Like, the Texans have been one of the best defenses in the NFL to date. They're number three in yards per game. I think they're number three in defensive DVOA. So because what he's saying is matched by the numbers, I think that it's 100% real with what Matt LaFleur, I called him Mike a second ago, what Matt LaFleur has to say. All right, final one from LaFleur, coach of the Packers. High praise for one Will Anderson Jr.
Yeah, he is a problem. He's another one of the problems that they got. So there's a lot of guys – he's just so disruptive, and you know, he's relentless too. I just love his play style. I mean, he's going to come off the ball. He's going to fight you every snap. He plays the game the way it's meant to be played.
Coach, speak real.
He tells no lies, but he doesn't tell you a whole lot more. It's real.
Yeah, he's the reigning, defending, undisputed AFC Defensive Player of the Week. I mean, it is what it is. Like, he currently has the belt of the best defensive player in the AFC. He's telling you that he, you know, wreaks havoc on the game, that he's really good. There you go. I don't think that any of that was Coach Speak. I'm not even sure 0002 is right. I don't know if Coach Speak actually exists. I think everything they say behind the microphone and behind the podium is 100% truthful. All the time. All right, just getting started. Killer Bees busy show. Lee Sterling at 3:45. Adam Ronis at 4:15. We'll mix in a Texas guest, Brad Kellner, joining us at 4:45. Little Bad Take Boulevard coming up later on as well. 713-780-ESPN. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man. Joel Bryan at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Coming up next, six games in. How many games the Texans have played? 5-1. Who are the five most important Houston Texans? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, it's the Beast. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-ESPN, 7906. Blankers, I'm going to Green Bay for the game. Do you want anything from Lambeau? The lowercase Lambeau, that's some low-key disrespect.
You're going to have an unbelievable time. That you are going to be invited into, I would say, multiple tailgates and fed and beveraged up. They take care of the visiting team very well. They're not like Oakland fans or, you know, wherever you go, that it's a rough environment, and you are going to soak it all in.
What's how many games you been there?
Oh, a lot. I mean, it's
like ballpark it.
50?
Dang, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
A lot was accurate. I've not been to 50 Texans games.
And that includes, like, when they used to play two games a year at County Stadium in Milwaukee. So I've been to Lambeau a ton, and then I've been to the Milwaukee games ever since I've been – 2-3 years
Why
old.
Did they do that? That's weird.
Because they didn't think that the Milwaukee fans, because it was so sold out. It was like the Texans when they first got here on the waiting list and everything, mm-hmm. that they wanted to give Milwaukee fans a chance to be able to go to games to capitalize on the market. So it kind of pissed off Packer fans, as it should, but two games a year were always designated as Milwaukee games.
Okay. Yeah. That's what UConn women's basketball does that.
Is that right?
The more you know. Yeah, they play all over Connecticut. Like, they'll play in stores. They'll play in Hartford. They'll go to some of the other towns in Connecticut that I don't remember the name of.
Sometimes they play in Boston, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right.
For, like, big games.
Yeah, they'll move it all around just to, like, because they're so
well. On the flip side, Jacksonville does it, but that's because they can't get fans to go, so they take two games a year overseas to capitalize on the money.
Yeah, yeah. All right, who are the top five most important Texans? I bought this from old Landlock. But six games in, who are the five most important Texans? 713-780-ESPN. What do you say? What do you think?
I'm going to go the obvious, CJ. I'm going to go with Laremy Tunsil to protect him.
Are you going in order here?
No. I'm just naming off the five.
Okay.
CJ Tunsil.
Because it sounds like you started off with 1-2. I was kind of curious.
I was wondering if Tunsil was your 2, yeah.
He's close, but I would say CJ Tunsil, Will Stingley, and Diggs.
More than Nico.
Because Nico's out.
Okay.
He's not playing for the next three games.
So sure, but that doesn't mean.
If you want to say he's more whether important. They're injured or not, then take out Diggs and put in Nico.
Okay. All right. So.
So you've
this
got
was tough for me. Because
three,
like,
offensive guys, two defensive guys. And this is tough,
it wasn't
for me.
That tough for me.
Yeah, it was tough for me limiting it to five. Because there's one that I cut that I kind of feel a little dirty about.
I didn't have a difficult one decision here, though. I really didn't have a difficult decision here. I hear you. Like, there's probably 8 or 9 you would say, man, they are really important. But I didn't have trouble coming up with my 5.
I had trouble. I think that there's 6 guys that could be top 5.
Yeah, I'm with Jeremy.
There's 6 that could be top 5. My 5 most important Texans through 6 games, C.J. Stroud at the very top. And it's because the NFL and football, you got to have your quarterback at number 1. Number two is Will Anderson for me. I think he's the best player on the defensive side of the ball. He's trying to get to the quarterback. He's trying to pressure the quarterback. He's trying to make the quarterback's life very difficult. And again, we know how important quarterback is in football, especially at the NFL level. Number three for me is Derek Stingley, because I think he's the second most important player on the defensive side of the ball. I think he's the second best player on the defensive side of the ball. I have Nico Collins four. I think he's your best offensive skill player. I think he's proven that. And then number five for me is Laremy Tunsil, because he protects my number one, protects his blind side, left tackle, critical to the NFL. So my top five: Stroud, Anderson, Stingley, Collins, Tunsil. And the one that I feel kind of gross leaving out is Joe Mixon.
Oh.
I feel gross leaving Joe Mixon out of my
top five. I went the other direction, the other side of the football.
Who was that?
My guy, Al Shaier.
Oh, yeah. Al Shaier is worthy of this conversation for sure. Yeah. I wouldn't have him ahead of the other five, obviously.
No,
but Al Shaier, I think he's worthy of this conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, is he more important than Joe Mixon?
That's, again, we got to see the running game against better defenses. But, yeah, there's definitely an argument to be made for either guy.
Who are your top five, Brian?
Well, we have, with Joel editing his list and putting in Nico, we have the exact same five. It's just different orders. No surprise, Stroud's at the top of the list, quarterback. No further explanation needed. After that, though, my order changes from you guys. I go with Tunsil number two, because to me, the second most important guy on the team is the guy that keeps the quarterback upright, in my opinion. And so I went Tunsil too. He's obviously your best offensive lineman, has been for years. After that, Nico Collins. He was the leading receiver in the entire NFL before he got hurt. He was a game breaker. He made a great player like Tank Dell look unnecessary at times. Made Dalton Schultz, who has been an adequate to above average player for a number of years, look completely unnecessary. Nico Collins to me is a transformative player. Then after that, it's the two defensive players that are the most important. And I ordered them: Will Anderson Jr. and then Derek Stingley.
Okay, so you went three straight offensive players, one, two, three.
Offense wins championships.
And there's true. No sixth.
But their defense has been better.
Their defense has led. I think the offense can be separated into kind of the defense has, to me, more moving parts that make up the whole, whereas our offense is kind of, well, we need to have these three guys that we could kind of fill in the holes in other places, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. I think Al Shaier is worthy of the conversation.
He would have been my sixth.
The top five. Over Mixon.
He would have been my sixth. Yeah.
Over Mixon.
You know how he feels about
offense wins championships.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'm going to lean into it. Mixon's a bum.
JoJo's over the hill.
He's a bum. 4608, D'Amico's number one. Without him changing this, changing the culture, this team would be the same. That is probably true, but we're talking specifically players. If you want to say D'Amico Ryans is the most important figure when it comes to the Houston Texans, I think that's fine. I would challenge that, though. I think there's one more important figure than D'Amico Ryans. And no, it's not Cal McNair, who just has.
I think I know. You know where you're going to go.
It's Stroud.
Oh,
it's Stroud.
Oh, without a doubt.
Give me quarterback over head coach in the NFL. Sorry, I love D'Amico Ryans. Those are the two most important positions on an NFL team for me: is quarterback and head coach. I was saying last year that is, if you have the quarterback, if you have the head coach, you can be a Super Bowl contender. I think the Texans have the quarterback. I think that they have the head coach. I think they can be a Super Bowl contender. But if you're making me answer the difficult question of quarterback or head coach at the NFL. This is different whenever you're talking about other levels of football, other sports. But if you're talking NFL football, quarterback or the head coach, absolutely give me the quarterback. You know who proved this? Tom Brady proved this.
No question. Yeah, I think that I say it over and over again, repeat it, and we've talked about this forever since we've been doing the show. The most important position in professional team sports, without question, is the quarterback. And he is the most leaned on, the most relied upon, the guy that takes on the majority of the brunt of everything that's going on, and that's why you start with him. Now, does it help to have coach? Yes, but you have coaches, because the other thing that spins into is your head coach hires your coordinators. Your coordinators can be as important in a lot of ways than your head coach, because it's specifically the systems and the plays you're calling on both sides of the football. But does it come close to the quarterback? No.
Yeah, I would take Stroud over D'Amico. I love D'Amico. And D'Amico would be second on that list, though. 713-780-ESPN. Who are the five most important Texans so far through the year? And this could even be going forward. Like, who are the five most important that you have to have?
I feel like we're leaving out a name.
6381 says CJ, Nico, Will, Tunsil, Al Shaier. No particular order. That's Aaron in Mid-County. Although that feels like an order, though. As soon as you lead CJ at number one, you feel like there is an order there. Who's the one name?
Chris on YouTube's got the one that I think people are thinking about specifically with this year.
He says Stroud, Mixon, Will Anderson, Derek Stingley, Kyme Fairbairn.
Yes. Fairbairn's the one.
That's the name.
Come on.
People are going to bring him up, though.
You look at the early games. I mean, these early games, obviously, all one score. And I know at least the first two games, both wins by one score. He's making three-plus kicks from 50 yards. I mean, what happened last year when Kaimi was hurt and they had to bring in Amendola or had Dare kick the field goals in that one game. It's a big difference. Look, especially the Colts game where you win by two and he makes three 50-yard kicks. Are you convinced they win that game without Kaimi?
I am sick right now. I'm about to throw up. This is frustrating me and triggering me. I'm not even going to lie. We're comparing Kaimi Fairbairn being worthy of the top five most important player you're making a case for him to be incredibly important. Chris on YouTube did have him.
He's not in
the conversation. He's as important as Azeez Al-Shaire. He's as important as Joe Mixon. I'm sorry, but Kaimi, a kicker in the NFL, doesn't belong on the top five most important players on a Super Bowl contender. Even the very, very best. San Francisco had their kicker hurt. They're about to use their third kicker in 3 weeks. Matt Amendola sucked, yes, but if you got rid of Kaimi Fairbairn over the middle of an offseason, you find the NFL average and you're perfectly fine. Kaimi Fairbairn loved the guy. I've been advocating for Kaimi Fairbairn when people were crushing Kaimi Fairbairn. I like Kaimi Fairbairn, but no way is a kicker top five on a Super Bowl contender is the most important player.
That's the boundary. The top five thing,
he's not in my top five.
You're advocating for him, though.
I'm just talking about a name because we're bringing.
And he was in somebody's top five. Fairbairn's five. No,
yeah,
Fairbairn
I agree
is
with
not.
That. He's not in the top five. He's probably not even top eight. But if we're talking about other names that are kind of the next tier. Well, I'm telling you my opinion.
He does not come up in the next tier. The next tier is Mixon. Is Azeez Al-Shaire or all these?
Yes.
How about Danielle Hunter? We brought up Kaimi. Fairbairn before Danielle Hunter. What are we doing here? Kaimi Fairbairn? I love the guy. But he's not that important.
For the most part, I agree with your average NFL kicker take. And you're 100% right 99% of the time. Where I disagree is because of the 50-plus yard kicks. I forget the exact stat, but in those early games the Texans had, he had, I believe, three 50-plus yard made field goals in each of the first two games and a few more after
that. He had eight total in his first nine kicks.
Every kicker in the NFL does.
That's not being fair.
You want Amendola?
No, but
he couldn't do it.
No one has Amendola.
Amendola's not an NFL kicker.
Time
out, though. I agree with you that the kicker shouldn't be in the top five nor the top ten. But at the same time, the team you're going to play this week has gone through – they're already on their third kicker and over 2 years.
Yeah, they hired a guy who's mean to women.
Yeah, because they're desperate as all hell because they can't find anybody to put it through the uprights.
Have y'all been paying attention to the NFL this year? Like, 50-yarders are layups nowadays in the NFL.
If you got them. But if you can't find one, it's a problem. It's not top five, top 10-ish, but it's a problem.
Yeah, most teams have them, though. Like, the kickers are having more success with long field goals and just field goals in general than, like, ever before in NFL history. Ever before. Like, you can't put Kaimi Fairbairn, sorry, kicker, in the same conversation of Azeez Al-Shaire, Joe Mixon, Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs. Like,
I don't know if the average NFL kicker makes the 56 and 59-yard field goals that Kaimi's
making. Okay, but he
up.
Also missed a 40-yarder last week. Like,
yeah, he's missed
we
one.
We can talk about the downsides of it, too.
He's missed one.
Okay. Yeah.
But the first three games, he made like eight from 50-plus.
Kaimi Fairbairn, I'll take Danielle Hunter. Let's see which team wins more football games.
I would put Danielle Hunter in front of Fairbairn.
How many guys are we talking about? Where does Kaimi Fairbairn come in? Let's go through the offensive side of the ball. He's not ahead of Stroud, so there's one. Is he ahead of Mixon? No, there's two. Is he ahead of Laremy Tunsil? No, there's three. Is he ahead of Kenyon Green as most important Houston Texan? I'm okay if you want to say yes.
I think he is.
Is he ahead of Juice Scruggs?
Yeah.
I don't think he's ahead of Juice Scruggs.
Center's a pretty important position.
I don't think, and he's playing pretty dang well. Didn't play great against the Patriots. Probably the worst game that he had. But I would take Juice Scruggs over Kaimi Fairbairn on my football team. There's four. Are you taking Shaq Mason or Kaimi Fairbairn?
Shaq Mason.
Okay, mm-hmm. Fine. Titus Howard.
I'm taking Howard.
I don't know.
It's right tackle.
It's right tackle.
Dang
it's right tackle.
It is, but Titus has been pretty, I don't know, he's been kind of meh.
Would you rather have Blake Fisher or a mediocre NFL kicker starting for you, like playing?
So mediocre
the
tackle
one.
Or mediocre
yeah,
kicker?
Because you're going, because
no,
you're
sure.
going from
no,
Titus
it.
Howard to Blake Fisher. If you didn't have Kaimi Fairbairn, you dropped to a mediocre kicker.
I've seen Blake Fisher get bullied a couple times, so I'll go ahead and go Titus.
So it's five. That's five. Nico Collins, six.
Sure.
Stephon Diggs, or seven. Tank Dell.
Sure.
There's eight. Mm-hmm. Dalton Schultz?
No.
Okay, probably not. All right, so that's the offensive side of the ball. Let's look at the defensive line. Will Anderson?
Of course.
All right, Danielle Hunter?
Yes.
There's 10. Settle Foley?
Foley, yes. Settle, no.
Okay, 11. Danico Autry?
I'm going to say Autry's going to play in.
I mean, Autry hasn't even played yet, so we can't
absolutely
put you.
Absolutely, you know who he
is.
Though.
You know who he is and what they
doesn't
spent
matter.
To get him.
But if he hasn't even played yet.
But still, we're talking about most important Texans. Like, you don't have to play to be the most important Texans. Like, Nico Collins isn't currently out, but he's way more important than Kyahmi Fairbairn to this team's success.
I hear what you're saying.
So that's was that 11 or is that 12?
I lost count.
So let's just go 11. Let's be conservative and go with 11. How about Mario Edwards? Been pretty dang good.
Pretty damn good this year.
Pretty dang good.
I'd go Kyahmi.
Okay, we'll stick at 11. Your linebackers, Azeez Alshire, yes, 12.
Yes.
Christian Harris, more important?
Sure.
13. Henry Toʻoʻo?
Yes.
13, Stingley. Yeah, 14,
so.
Lassiter?
Yes.
15, Jalen Petrie?
Maybe.
Yeah, Petrie's kind of mad at me.
Yeah.
Kalen Bullock, my bad.
Yeah, Bullock, yes.
That's 15 or 16, I lost count.
I
Murray,
think 15.
Murray and Ward.
Hmm?
Murray and Ward.
I would take Kyahmi.
Okay, that's fine. There's at least 15 more important Houston Texans than Kyahmi Fairbairn. Fairbairn cracks the top 20. Doesn't crack the top 15. Kyahmi Fairbairn does not love the guy. He does not belong in the conversation as the most important Houston Texans. Who are your most important Houston Texans? 713-780-ESPN. If you want to advocate and defend Kyahmi Fairbairn, feel free. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Our top five most important Houston Texans has turned into a Kyahmi Fairbairn conversation. And the importance of Kyahmi Fairbairn to the Houston Texans. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Someone texted in and said the Texans are 2-3 without Kyahmi Fairbairn. They played six games. Maybe him. No, he said 2-4. He said 2-4. That's my bad. Which games? Like, which games are the Texans losing because of Kyahmi Fairbairn? There's one maybe. He made the game winner against Buffalo, obviously. The Houston Texans also screwed that up royally to be in a position where Kyahmi Fairbairn had to make a 59-yard field goal. Like, they should have never been in that spot. The Indianapolis Colts game, I think, yes, they won by two, but I think they win that game without Kyahmi Fairbairn. Chicago, they beat by six. They win that game without Kyahmi Fairbairn. He obviously wasn't a factor when they got beat by 27. They beat Jacksonville by four. They win that game without Kyahmi. And obviously, they beat New England by 20 without Kyahmi Fairbairn. You could say the Buffalo Bills game, but the Texans screwed it up for Kyahmi Fairbairn to be able to win it.
I think the biggest thing that people have to take away from this is it's not. I personally am not crapping all over Kyahmi Fairbairn because he's done a hell of a job. But the realistic question is, where does he fit in terms of how important is he to a team? And when you talk about the importance of guys that play on every down that have just unbelievable roles to fill, like I said about quarterback, like we said about a left tackle to guard your quarterback, like all the different defensive players that make an impact, impact matters and impact on every play matters. And that's why, without taking away anything from him, there are guys that are higher on the list.
Yeah, I'm not saying Kyahmi Fairbairn's bad.
Well, I'm saying to the listeners who are like fighting for this.
No, I'm backing that up. Like, to me, he is a top five kicker in the NFL, and it's incredibly valuable to have a top five kicker in the NFL. Would I rather have Kyahmi Fairbairn over the other 15 players we listed? Absolutely not. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Brandon from the South Side, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Brandon?
What's up, man?
What's up?
How's it going?
Oh, good. It's good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. Can't complain.
Sweet. How's the family?
What you got, Brandon? What you got?
Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
What you got?
Brandon, come on. What you got, buddy?
Fairbairn kickers, all that.
I don't play Fairbairn. Let me get this straight first. I don't play Fairbairn over Hunter or Anderson or Stingley or none of that. But he's still pretty important, and my reason behind that is the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, would not have 7 Super Bowls if it wasn't for a kicker.
Appreciate the call, Brandon. Thank you. No one's denying that Fairbairn's not important. Like,
right.
I love Kymie Fairbairn. I like that we have Kymie Fairbairn. There's very few kickers I rather have than Kymie Fairbairn. But Kymie Fairbairn doesn't crack my top 15 most important Houston Texans. That's simply it. And both things are true. Fairbairn can be really good and valuable and not one of your most 15 important players.
That's right. I mean, the bottom line is tip of the cap to who he's talking about, Adam Vinatieri. But at the same time, Adam Vinatieri is a complimentary piece to the greatest quarterback of all time. And so there's a priority list.
Yeah.
I mean, true, but Brady would definitely have fewer Super Bowl rings if it wasn't for Adam Vinatieri.
You don't think
how many?
I'd
have to break it down. Okay, yeah, but
time out, though. That's not saying that another kicker couldn't make some of those kicks.
And yeah, exactly that one. And if he misses the kick, the game goes into overtime.
Well, I wasn't even talking about the Rams. I was talking about the Raiders playoff game in the snow. I don't think the average NFL kicker makes that kick.
Well, after you had the snowplow there, I think I could have made that. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah, because you have to factor in if another kicker could make the kick.
Right.
Valid point on the snow, but other than that, in the Super Bowls.
He also had the game-winning kick against the Panthers, too, so it wasn't just one Super Bowl.
Fine, sure. But you don't think another guy could make that kick?
Right.
I mean, that's the conversation. I'll have to look up how far those were. I don't remember off the top of my head. But, like, getting back to the Texers' comment about 2-4, and I don't agree with 2-4 without Kymie Fairbairn. But if you look at the Buffalo, the Chicago, and the Indianapolis games, all one-score games, a total of, I think, 11 points is the margin of victory in those games. Kymie's 8-for-8 from 50. I don't think the average NFL kicker is going 8-for-8.
Have you seen how many kickers are making 50-yard field goals with ease?
8-for-8 above 50?
With ease.
I don't think.
Yeah. Like, Jeremy, I almost said to
they're
you.
They're talking
when
about
you said,
narrowing the uprights because kickers are having so much success this
year.
Well,
when you said top five in the league, I think there's a discussion that maybe he's not in the top five in the league because of the guys that have the same kind of leg or stronger leg with the same kind of accuracy that have done it for a longer period of time. He'd be probably fringy right at five, but there are guys to do that. And to your point, Brian, the fact is you can see how long they were, but Vinatieri wasn't known to have a thunderous leg. He was just really damn good between the uprights.
Yeah,
it's kind of important,
right?
Though.
But I'm saying we're talking clutch. About guys now that are doing the same thing, but from 50 plus. Whereas he wasn't really known as a banger from 50 plus, but he was unbelievably reliable,
accurate, and clutch. Yes.
And we're also moving the goalposts of this conversation. Now we're talking about the importance of Kymie Fairbairn relative to other kickers around the NFL. That's not the conversation.
It is the conversation.
No, it's not. The conversation is how important he is versus the other Houston Texans and who is more valuable of the other Houston Texans.
But to judge his value, isn't part of that basically wins above replacement?
Sure.
Like versus the average
NFL
kicker?
But a kicker's wins above replacement is never going to be top 10, top 15 on a good team. Even Justin Tucker is not a top 10, top 15 most important player on the Baltimore Ravens. And I would have Kymie Fairbairn in the top five of my NFL kickers. But again, I'm not picking any of the top five kickers over the top 10 players of a Super Bowl contender.
It's simple to Brian's example. Give me five Patriots that are more important than Adam Vinatieri. It's pretty easy.
Sure.
I mean, you could just rattle them off.
I wouldn't put Kymie in my top five, though. That was never my argument. I was just bringing him up in a conversation about most important Texans.
And he's not in the top 15. And you yourself, counting down with him, wouldn't have him in the top 15. 3209, Kymie has to be top five, no doubt, he says.
Settle down.
3367, y'all can't leave out Diggs. Diggs, see, I don't have Diggs in my top five, but I have Diggs in my top eight.
Yeah, I was going like to say, he's in the top 10.
Aziz, Diggs, Joe Mixon needs to be in the conversation.
Yes.
6225, Fairbairn has doubled the points of anybody else on the Texans. That's cool. It's a position. it's like the cleanup hitter has more RBIs.
All he does
is a better hitter.
How many tackles does he have for loss and sacks?
Yeah, 3209, John Weeks, top 53, no doubt. I would agree. When your kicker's pretty automatic from 50 yards out, that is pretty top tier. Again, both things true. No one's denying that Kymie Fairbairn is not top tier. But are you picking him over the top five Houston Texans? If you had an expansion team and you could draft any Houston Texan that you wanted for as many rounds as you wanted, at what point are you drafting Kymie Fairbairn? Not in the top 15. A key from L.A., he says that CJ, Joe Mixon, Laremy Tunsil, Derek Stingley, Nico Collins. What do you think of the argument of Mixon being top two as the five most important Houston Texans? I don't want to have top two, but maybe top five most important Houston Texans.
Yeah, look, again, order can be to those and how deep dive you want to go on this. Joe Mixon has been extremely important. He's going to be more important to this team as the season goes on. But in terms of, we've talked about it in the past, the Texans' offense is so good with the guy we have that everybody has number one on the list, rightfully so. If the passing game is good, you can get away with not having Joe Mixon. But you can't get away with not having C.J. Stroud or having a left tackle that's of top five caliber or the other guys we rattled off.
I have Mixon in my top eight, but he's not in my top five. He's fringe top five. 8576, how many kickers have won a team a Super Bowl? How many kickers have been on good enough teams to be in that spot? You can be the best kicker in the NFL and never sniff a Super Bowl if your team sucks. 5391, y'all smoking some good dope today. None of those names will score a game-winning field goal for us. Like what? Cool. You have to be a good team to be in those games. Like you picking Kyahmi Fairbairn over C.J. Stroud because Kyahmi Fairbairn can hit a game-winning field goal and C.J. Stroud cannot? 8178, kickers aren't football players. No argument for me. 8341, excluding kickoffs, he's in the game for only three or four plays, and the results better be good or he's going to go down the road. So we gotta talk about the role that they play and what they do whenever they get the opportunity. That's the thing. Like, yes, a kicker is obviously important, especially when the game is on the line, but you're not picking them over other important other positions. 1970, kicker is not top 10. Agreed. Jets wish they had Fairbairn. Cool, you're moving the goalpost. Yes, the Jets wish they had a kicker that was good. That doesn't make the kicker one of the most important players on the team. Like, if you put Fairbairn on the Jets, he's still behind Rodgers. He's still behind Garrett Wilson. He's still behind Breece Hall. He's now behind Davante Adams. I don't really know their offensive line that well, so let's just pick two of them. You got six there. Their defense is really good. Probably picking three defensive linemen over him. That's eight. Obviously, you're picking Sauce over him. That's nine. And there's probably a player or two that I'm not even remembering. Mm-hmm. So even though the Jets would be desperate for a Kyahmi Fairbairn, he's still not one of their 10 most important players.
Plus, you want to bust on Greg the leg, that's fine, but he had to kick in a hurricane. I mean, that factors in, too, how you can kick in a wind that both teams struggled with. But, yeah, I mean, the Jets aren't going to put a kicker in their top 10.
Yeah, I don't think so. Ask Peyton Manning about Vanderjagt. Vinatieri's accuracy absolutely mattered for the Pats' playoff success. No doubt about that. Peyton Manning sounding off on Mike Vanderjagt is one of my favorite audio bites of all time.
The liquored up
kicker. He said in the Pro Bowl, I'm out here throwing touchdown passes to Jerry Rice, and I'm talking about our idiot kicker got liquored up and ran his mouth. I love that soundbite. It's so good. Is Butker top 15 on the Chiefs? I don't know if he's asking if he's a top 15 kicker, which he is, or if he's asking if he's a top 15 most important Kansas City Chief. I think it's the latter.
And he's not.
Not knowing their roster as well as I know the Texans roster, he's not ahead of Pat Mahomes. Is he ahead of Kareem Hunt, who ran for over 100 yards this past week? I don't know. That's up for interpretation.
Is he above Pacheco?
Is he ahead of Pacheco? That offensive line, like probably picking at least three of them over Butker. Rashee Rice is hurt, so you can throw him out. Kelce's would be in the mix there. Maybe not any other receivers. And their defense is really, really stinking good. So you're probably picking seven or eight defensive players over Butker. Maybe all 11. Aaron Rodgers running it back with Mason Crosby. It's funny. Cowboys have the best kicker in the NFL, and they suck. Kickers don't make a difference. I think they make a difference. I just don't think that the difference is all that impactful. I think when you really notice kickers, it's kind of like closers in baseball. You notice them a lot with really good teams and when games are close. Because if you don't have a really good team, who cares who your kicker is on a 4-13 team? It does not matter.
You can lead the league in scoring, but lose every game or majority of your games by double digits. So congratulations to you. You had a thunderous leg, and all they could do was muster enough to get 3 points, but you couldn't put any drives together, score any points, or win enough football games.
1970, Davis Mills more important than Fairbairn. I don't know if I would go that far, but I kind of like where you're coming from here. And then 0754, the bad word, we're talking about kickers add points. Yeah, they do add points. They do that.
I think that was in favor of the kicker.
And offensive players add points and defensive players prevent points. You're right. Points absolutely matter when it comes to the NFL. Well,
if you take Clyde's word at it for keys to the game, I mean, I think one of the keys is to score more points than the opponent.
He said that once?
Oh, yeah.
You can't lose games in the National Football League and still win. Quote Trent Dilfer.
It's true. He's not wrong. Let's get to Lee Sterling. He wins a lot of games for you. He wants to hand out some money when we come back. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now I want to tell you just a few words about Doc Linville. Doc Linville's the best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. He's right here in the Houston area, in the Med Center, and he's doing great things for people all the time. He's fantastic at plastic surgery and Botox and spa treatments, but what I know about him personally is he does PRP treatments for your hair, and he does the NeoGraft procedure to get your hair back if you are struggling with hair loss. And because you listen to us and you are interested in talking to him, I'm here to tell you right now about the longstanding offer he's had for our listeners. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and check out all the information and then sign up for a free consultation. It's the same free consultation that I got, but other people are paying $150 for. You don't have to pay because you're listening to us right now. Go in, have them explain to you how PRP treatments can help you with the hair that you still have on your head, and how the NeoGraft procedure can get your hair back in areas you don't have hair at all. It's game changer, people. It's unbelievable. And when Doc and his staff explained it to me, I couldn't wait to get involved in the process and see how the results would be. 6 to 9 months is what it takes after the process to see the full total results, but you will see the follicles there right away, and they will continue to grow. They'll get stronger and longer because where he's taking the hair from in the NeoGraft procedure is an area where I found out you're never going to lose your hair. Sides in the back of your head, you're always going to have hair there no matter where you go bald in other areas. So he basically takes that in the NeoGraft procedure, takes some of it, puts it where you need it most. You see the results right away. You see even better results in 6 to 9 months, and you get your hair back for the rest of your life in those areas. Phenomenal. PRP treatments, it's like fertilizing your lawn. There's hair there. It just needs to be stronger. It needs to get back to when it was longer. That's the way that you do it. PRP treatments, that actually kind of infuses energy into the follicles. They get stronger and longer. You see better results. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by, but go to 975hair.com and sign up for that free consultation. Doc Linville, best in the business.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brent.
It's October. That means it's Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. Lee, let's jump right into the games. No one cares how you're feeling. No one cares how you're doing. They want you to win money for them. That's what it's all about. And we're going to start with my Houston Cougars going to Arrowhead Stadium. I'm excited about that. I've never been to Arrowhead Stadium. Kansas getting some renovations done on their on-campus stadium, so they're playing at Arrowhead against the Cougars on Saturday. Jayhawks getting 5. Cougars with a road Big 12 win. Last time out. How's this one going to play out at Arrowhead, Lee?
And you left out that it's homecoming. Homecoming in a different state for Kansas. So, crazy game here. I like the fact that Willie Fritz has made the quarterback change here. Donovan Smith just wasn't getting the job done here. And the thing I like best about Chris, not just that he completed 15 to 18 throws, did not turn the ball over. Kansas, one of three teams in the country, 0-6 against the spread here. They've allowed 30-plus points to West Virginia, TCU, and Arizona State. Season's on the brink for both of these two teams. Of course, we're going to have to wait till last play. Houston pulls off the upset here, 27-23.
Go Cougs, Lee. Go Cougs.
You made some people very, very happy.
Yeah.
All right, now another one where this is also going to either make or break someone's happiness on this show. The biggest game of the weekend, bar none, is the Texas Longhorns and the Georgia Bulldogs. All eyes will be upon Austin and everything going down between those two teams. Tell us how this one breaks down in your mind.
So I think Texas might be the most talented team in the country. They just haven't played really anyone. I mean, Michigan, not their normal self. In fact, they have the 131st ranked pass offense. Next best team, Oklahoma. This might be one of the worst Oklahoma teams we've seen in the last couple decades. And the rest of the schedule, I mean, a bunch of directional schools. Now, Georgia has not looked good of late, but we do know that they have an A game. And when they play their A game, look pretty good. They beat Clemson 34-3. And in that game, they held Clemson, their offense, to a total of 188 yards in that game. And since that game, Clemson's put up between 405 and 712 yards here per game. I just think that Georgia's backs are against the wall here. I mean, this is a win, or maybe they're out of the playoffs. And, you know, I think that people maybe are underestimating them a little bit. They've been in already a huge game so far this year against Alabama. I don't think they're going to be intimidated at all. And if you think all of a sudden the passing of the torch goes from Georgia to Texas, don't take the bait. I'm taking the more desperate team. Georgia, outright, wrong team favorite, 30-24.
Desperate team.
That up, boy, Lee. I'm with you on that
victory.
One.
Let's switch over to the NFL. I was going to say the Sunday games, but this is one of two Monday night games. Baltimore, 3-point favorite over Tampa Bay. Both offenses high-powered. Tampa Bay maybe can't defend their shadow. What are you thinking between Baltimore and Tampa?
Yes, so Baltimore, I think, is going to try to run the football, but teams have a lot of problems running the ball in this Tampa Bay defense, and they just smother you, and then if, you know, they decide to have Lamar Jackson throw the ball 38, 40 times, I don't think that's a way for success here. So I like the fact that the Buccaneers gave up two routes, in fact, 27-7 in the second quarter. and didn't even bat an eye. They came back and won that game 51-27. Baker Mayfield has silenced his critics, has an NFL-high 15 touchdown passes already this season. So I think you take the home dog here. Tampa Bay wins outright 30-24.
Wow. Another big game. I think a lot of people, Lee, are looking a little past this game, specifically in this market, because of the fact that the Texans have such a big game. We'll get to that. But the Niners, less than what people thought, but still a very talented team against the undefeated Chiefs. This is a great matchup in the NFL.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you got a lot of things working in Kansas City's favor. You got a coach here, an Andy Reid, who's 21-3 in the regular season, coming off of a bye. In fact, 8-2 with the Chiefs. And don't underestimate Patrick Mahomes either. He's 13-3-1 against the spread as an underdog since he came to the NFL. And this is already his eighth season. Seems like he's only been here 4 or 5 years. So we know that San Francisco's down a couple running backs, and Kansas City's out without their top receiver, their top running back. But I just think that Patrick Mahomes is just too much. I know he's only averaging 247 yards passing, but still, top three and third down conversions, and they have the best defense in the NFL. Kansas City, one more time, 30-17.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one. Green Bay, sure. Houston, Lambeau Field. The Texans without some pieces. The Packers, they're without some pieces, too. Yep. But it's going to be a good one. I hate that it's a noon start because you have Detroit, Minnesota, which is also a noon start. I think those are the best two games of the week, at least from my perspective. Houston at Lambeau, Green Bay giving three. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, so this is a non-conference road game here for the Texans, and you know, off hosting here Indianapolis, you know, they got some big games coming up down the road, and now all of a sudden Green Bay, all hands are on deck, fully healthy Jordan Love, Packers are showing definite signs of rising to their level, where people are, a lot of people talked about them as Super Bowl contender here. The NFC North, top division in the football right now this season with a combined record of 17-5. Love, I just think he's taking advantage of excellent receiving depth here. He's missed two games, and he's thrown 12 touchdowns, which is tied for second in the league despite missing those two games. Green Bay also the highest takeaway giveaway ratio at the NFL, and usually when teams start hot, they stay hot. They're plus 9 in that category with 17 takeaways. The Texans, 5-1, but are just even in the takeaway giveaway category. Green Bay at home, 28-24.
Lee.
You are ruffling some feathers in the H today.
Lee said, all right. Sorry.
I hope that's the one I missed.
You were talking about hot. You were talking about hot teams. Let's talk about hot in the way that people can get on the bandwagon with you. Get hot, stay hot, make some picks, make some cash. Tell everybody how they get involved with you and how they can capitalize on that free play.
Well, last week we had the 5 for 55 both Saturday and Sunday. Included each day was the 40 to 50 unit max wager. Went a combined 8-2 on the weekend. So anyone wants to hop on board, how about this? From now through the end of October, that's 15 straight days of football. We call it Locktober, $197. Works out to $13 a day. You want to hop on board and start winning? Just one place. ParamountSports.com.
Lee, some people love Christmas. Some love Thanksgiving. For me, it's Locktober. It's Locktober, yep. Lee.
And then right after it, November, right around the corner.
There you go. Lee, enjoy your football weekend,
I like
Lee.
It.
All right, guys. Be good. Be safe.
We will. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. I like that he told us to be safe there at the end. That's you know, I think we are making some Killer Bee history today. I think today is the first of something that has never happened in the history of the show.
What's that?
Father and son on the program at the same day.
Oh, that's
Lee
right.
Sterling and Brad Keller on the
he
program at the
BK,
same day.
Yes.
I think this is the first time we've ever had a father-son pair appear on the Killer Bees at the same time. Except for yesterday, whenever I owned Brian with that truck conversation. No, I'm kidding. All right, take the L. What are you taking the L on? Things that you predicted in the preseason that haven't really gone the way that you thought. Take the L. What are you taking the L on? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.